going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
You mentioned something about Soto. Actually, before the show, you gave some stats, and we wanted to get to it here. So go ahead.
Yeah, it's real quick.
Yeah,
it's,
hit us with the Soto.
Well,
stats.
Listen, I don't know if this is the reason why he's not looking quite like Juan Soto, but it might be. And if that's the case, then how does this change? Now, are you a big believer in bat speed impacting performance?
Well, yes. I would like to know that the bat speed is good.
Yeah, of course. So is it fair to say that, you know, a reduction in bat speed could be partially attributable to Juan Soto looking a little different this year so far?
I personally didn't notice it, you know, just with my... Me neither, by the way.
This is backed up by numbers. I didn't watch him the other night and say, oh, his bat looks slower.
Well, they did mention it on the broadcast during the Subway Series where I think it was Darling was saying on the SNY broadcast that he was talking to Paul O'Neill. And O'Neill told him it looks like he's a little behind, a lot more behind than he ever was at any point last year.
Okay, I would wonder, I'd be very curious if Paul had any data to back that up. Maybe Paul played, so maybe he'd just tell right away. All right, so Juan Soto's bat speed this year is -2 miles per hour. -2 miles per hour. Now, they can do the math and, you know, the extra 2 miles at the absolute, you know, launch angle, how many feet that equates to, whatever. I don't think that I need to do that. It's just the bat speed is definitely a little lessened, and it's supported by the fact that when guys are throwing 95 miles per hour or more, his batting average is right around 150 or 160 on certain pitches. So if you're not swinging as fast, obviously that's going to have more of an adverse impact when the guy's throwing faster.
What I will say is that I have been surprised to see Soto get beat on fastballs. By the way, the Mets as a team, I think, have had an issue with that. But Soto, come on, dude. You should be mashing these fastballs. So my question is not, okay, well, great, that's the metric, because the metric could always change, right? We went through this with Lindor a year ago, whatever it is.
True.
For certain players, it happens. My question would then be, why? Why is his bat speed slower? Like, I know people made fun or brought up his shape. I don't look at Juan Soto's being in bad, poor condition or being out of shape.
Me neither.
I don't think Juan Soto visually looks different than he did a year ago.
Visually in terms of his body what he's emitting?
No, visually in terms of his body or the swing.
It looks the same with it. His body looks pretty much the same. I would agree.
So I want to know why that's the case. And then I guess I would counter, or not counter, but also bring up then what's more important. Is bat speed more important or exit velo? Where his exit velo for the most part this year, and I don't know, I'm not looking at it, but I remember people saying, he's still hitting the ball hard, he's still hitting the ball hard.
Yeah, barrel rate and all those things. That Gio and Boomer made fun of me on. Yeah, I would say that the exit velo, I would say that the bat speed is directly attributable to exit velocity. No question.
Interesting, okay.
And it's just sheer physics. Like, the harder I swing...
Yeah, but you might not square it up as much.
Well, that's true, but I'm saying, like, over... a broader sample.
Okay.
Yeah, like if you have, I think Aaron Judge's bat speed is right around 76 or 77. So if, and again, if it's on the end, if it's on the label, understood, but if a barrel ball at 76 miles per hour, swing speed versus 72 or 73. It's probably going to go 10, 12, 15 feet further, which is why we wonder. And this article that I read was all born out of, like, where's his power? And then they were trying to, you know, do a little digging, and they did. I mean, right now, Juan Soto's on pace to 26 home runs and 68 RBIs.
Those are
gross.
It's words that I can't say on the radio. That's what that is.
Maybe more alarming is that he's only plus six in terms of a projection, more walks than strikeouts. Right now, he's projected to have 126 walks and 120 strikeouts. You need that disparity, as it always is with him. That's why he's always got a 420, 430 on base percentage. Like, that is glaringly close to me. I am looking up one thing as I'm talking. And the other thing, too, I noticed, like, he just doesn't seem as aggressive. He doesn't seem as confident. And I can't
quantify. That's my issue.
Yeah, you can't quantify that. But he just, you know, even some of these curveballs, like Fried threw one over that buckled him, and Crochet. And I know these guys are nasty, but I don't really see him look so lost on a curveball or a sweeper. He just looks confused now. He does.
The appeal of Juan Soto is that he's Juan Soto. Nothing else matters. Whether it's Josh Hader, Max Fried, Garrett Crochet, I don't care who it is. Juan Soto is going to be the guy that has the advantage because that's what he does. He gets the biggest hits and the biggest spots against the biggest and baddest pitchers that the game has to offer. So it's not, well, it's a nasty lefty. Yeah, that's great, but that's why Juan Soto's getting paid $765 million because he's supposed to get the better of those guys on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the good pitching. He's looked pedestrian against average pitching.
Yes, he definitely has. There's no question.
Now, the big thing is, and we got on him, like I was saying, you know, whatever, after 20 games. Oh, it's just 20 games. Well, now it's Memorial Day weekend.
I know.
Baseball has taken the back burner for us because of the Knicks. But Memorial Day weekend is always the first real benchmark of the baseball season. And Juan Soto's been nowhere near what he needs to be. And on top of the numbers not being there or the metrics not being there, it's all the other stuff that's starting to bother me.
Mm-hmm.
The chatter about him not being happy, the Yankees thing. The Mets actually had to move him from the two spot to the three spot. Now, it's not a big deal. It's not really, to me, it's not like...
It's not really a penalty. Three spot used to be the, you know, it's where Mattingly would hit.
But how do we know? Now, I would assume also that Soto's okay with it. I wouldn't think that Mendoza went to him and said, hey, I'm going to move you to the three spot. And Soto's kicking and screaming, and Mendoza says, tough, take it. I would think that they worked on it or had a conversation about it,
mm-hmm.
and for whatever reason said, okay, good. And I like that. I want him and Lindor separated. I don't want Soto hitting behind Lindor with him trying to steal bases and distracting Soto. No. Get a two-hitter in there. I would go with your original lineup. At this point, remember you said you wanted.
Of course, I remember Lindor won, Vientos two, and then obviously won three-peat four.
Well, the reason why I said Soto two is because I wanted to make him as comfortable as possible, and he thrived there in the two hole last year with the Yankees to a point where they never left the two hole. Already, mm-hmm. not even at Memorial Day, he's had to be removed from the two hole with the Mets. But I'm also, my main goal, like we were doing this on SNY, like, oh, Mets, Dodgers, don't care. I care about Soto. I really think that that's the only thing that matters at this point because. If they don't get him going, they're done. They're done.
Here we go.
The thought early on was that, well, they'll overcome, or they were overcoming Soto because Alonso was so great. Well, how'd that work out? How's that going now? When exactly is Vientos and Nimmo going? Lindor's come back down to earth a little bit, too. So they need Juan Soto. You may not believe it. You may not want to hear it. He's their best player. He's better than Alonso. He's better than Lindor. Juan Soto should be the face of the New York Mets. That's the most important thing here. It's early enough to where that should take precedent. I'm not saying that you lose games. Obviously, you want to win games, but they need to get Juan Soto going. So however they do that, and I personally would have Vientos too. I think you'll probably see that.
Has he earned it, though?
No, but also, BT, you could get him going.
Yeah.
The reason why you wanted to do that to start the year was...
I wanted to protect him.
Okay.
As he goes through the league again.
So now, by... If Lindor won, you leave him alone because he's obviously been great there for over a year, whatever.
Yeah, he's a leadoff hitter.
So if you put Vientos, who's been struggling too, and I trust him as an offensive player, maybe he could take advantage of hitting in front of Soto, and now maybe Soto gets up in a spot where you got both Lindor and Vientos or whoever from the bottom of the order on in front of him. And it's not just one guy who's trying to steal a base or nobody on in front of him. If he comes up with guys on, they're going to be forced to pitch to him. And I would think that that's going to give him an advantage more so than who's hitting behind him. I want Soto coming up, not just with a runner on. I want him to come up with guys on in a tough spot to force the pitcher to come into him and then let Soto go to work.
But I think they have been pitching to him. I think what's alarming to me is that he's just not attacking the zone. Like, they're going to, the other night, I know it's the one game, yeah, but the Red Sox game, it was literally, all right, here's strike one, here's strike two, here's strike three, and then the next at-bat, same thing, one, two, three. I'm not saying that they don't, that they're not a little cautious with him, but I don't see them nibbling like they used to nibble with, like, Judge or maybe a Bonds. Like,
yeah,
they're going after Juan Soto. He's just not hitting the ball.
Over the long haul, I want him up with guys on as opposed to being a table. So he does draw a lot of walks still.
I know.
And, okay, so
not as many as he, like, that's even down a little bit. But no, he's an on-base guy still.
I want traffic on in front of him. I know more often than not he's going to come through. And once he breaks the dam here, it's going to be, we won't even be talking about this anymore. He's just got, Piazza talked about it.
I saw that.
Maybe it's different with the Mets. The reason why we didn't expect it with the Mets is because we saw Soto do it with the Yankees. Here's the biggest point I want to make this, and I think it's important. And we're going to say it on a Friday, and we're going to be getting back to the Knicks calls here in a second. We'll talk about the Knicks when we come back on Tuesday and get into the midst of this series. But this is an underlying thing here. This was brought up by Andy Martino months ago, and I think I brought it up with you here on the air too. The difference is last year, Juan Soto had Aaron Judge, not hitting behind him, but going, obviously he did, but going to him and saying, hey, just be you, we got you. Don't worry about it. The captain, Judge, going to Soto saying, don't worry about the pressure, don't worry, we got you. Go be yourself. He doesn't have that with the Mets. And that, to me, is a problem. And the reason why I say it's a problem is because what's the number one thing that we've said about Juan Soto so far? Not that we don't think he's going to come out of it. Not that, you know, whatever.
Doesn't look happy.
He doesn't look comfortable. He doesn't look happy. He doesn't look like himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably feeling the pressure of the contract, feeling the pressure of living up to being with a new team, a new environment, all these different things. Not only are we assuming that, there have been reports about certain things. Marte trying to make him comfortable, all those different things. The Mets are lacking somebody, and I don't care who it is. They need someone to go to him and somebody that would that he would respect. And I don't know if there is anybody because he's Juan Soto, but somebody has to go to him and just tell him, hey, you can be yourself. Don't worry about it. Ideally, that would be the captain.
Mm-hmm.
So it's either got to be Brandon Nimmo or Francisco Lindor. Go to Juan Soto. Let him know you got him. Let him feel comfortable. Take the pressure off. And I feel like that is not happening or hasn't happened yet with the Mets.
All right, two things. How do we know that hasn't happened? How do we know that hasn't happened?
I don't believe that it's happened yet.
I don't know either, but I'm going to leave the door open as a slight possibility, but I don't know. But then the next thing would be, so when Judge went to him and said, hey, do you be you, what do you think that Soto's not doing that he usually does? Like, and let me give you an example. Like, say if you had, when Earl Monroe, a million years ago, kid is the first thing that pops in my head, comes to the Knicks, the smart thing would have been, rather than, hey, Pearl, just acquiesce, what you should have said, and I think they did, be you.
Yeah.
Okay, and he was, and they won a championship,
right?
I'm not saying he didn't defer at all to Clyde or Willis, whatever, but he was largely Earl the Pearl. What did Juan Soto do last year with the Yankees and years before that he's not doing now that somebody needs to say, be yourself?
I think it's just...
I honestly don't know the answer to that question.
But I think it's just a matter of... it's not about Juan Soto. It's about anybody in any environment. Not to mention that him, with the pressure of that contract, with the pressure of leaving the Yankees, who are still in town. I thought you made an excellent point last week when saying, hey, maybe we took it for granted because it's not easy to just move on from the Yankees when they're right here.
Yeah, it's the Dodgers. That's fine. That's 3,000 miles away. It's
or whoever, even the Red Sox. Like,
yes. There's always going to be, like, if Juan Soto's crushing it for the Mets, and eventually he will, then Yankee fans, those who still care about that, will, maybe downgrade it, whatever. If he struggles with the Met fan will get disenchanted as they're starting to a little bit, and the Yankee fan will hop in with great pleasure. Horrible contract, 15 years of this, he can't run, can't throw this, he's hitting 240. Like, the noise is unavoidable from every direction, especially if he really didn't want to go there and he went there for his parents or his mom.
And I'm not
if that's true.
I'm not buying that. I'm not saying I don't buy the Michael Kay thing. Because truth be told, I heard the same thing. I just never said it. Like, I didn't want to come out and say that, but I heard the same. We've talked about this all year. Like, so that to me is something that is believable. But I believe Juan Soto made his decision for a reason, and I don't believe he's unhappy with his decision. What I believe is two things that are happening here. One, the pressure of his contract. That's number one. Well, a couple of things actually happening. Three. One, the pressure of his contract. Two, the pressure of leaving the Yankees to go to the Mets. And three, not feeling comfortable. It's going to take a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But what would help anybody, put yourself not only in his situation, if we use our situation or the listener in your work environment or whatever, somebody new comes in.
Like, dude, use us.
Okay, so I came
just
in.
Just use us.
So, like, and
you are night and day from Tiki.
You were welcoming. Okay,
think
right,
about that.
Right.
Like, you don't think, like, just like, so, say if last year when I was with Tiki, that was the Yankees.
Right.
Or whatever. Like, how, it's a different.
It's a different work environment.
Now, we had to get used to it.
I don't know what I'm walking into. You can say, like, hey, we got to trust each other, and hey, we got to do this or got to do that. And the bosses could say, hey, this is what we're going to do. But I got to feel it myself.
You got to feel it.
And if you don't come to me and say, you know, hey, this or that, whatever it may be. Then maybe I can't be myself. And if I feel like I can't be myself, now maybe I'm starting to second guess certain things or like.
I get it.
So I think it would go a long way. You know, the Mets don't have a captain. I know everybody looks at Lindor saying that he should be the guy. Oh, great. I'm all for that. If he's going to go to Juan Soto and say, hey, we got you. Somebody's got to do that, and I'm not sure that anybody has. And that's to your point. I don't know that. I don't believe that has been the case. And I also know this. Soto is not comfortable.
Yeah.
It's on those guys in that clubhouse to make him feel comfortable.
Okay, was he not comfortable, or is he not comfortable because he got off to a slow start? Because last year, he looked very comfortable right away in New York. Right. So it's not New York. It's not like, oh, the stage is so big.
No, but that's
because he
came
flying out of the... Judge was awful. Soto was great in April.
So,
we know that.
So that's what I'm saying. It's different things. Leaving the Yankees to go to the Mets.
Okay.
The pressure of the $765 million
contract. But what about the pressure of chasing that contract? Now, I don't know which one's heavier. I would just common sense would tell me. Now, again, he already had $50 million in the bank before that, maybe more, before he got the $800 million roughly from the Mets. What's more pressure, trying to secure $700 or $800 million or try to justify that you're worth it? I don't know the answer.
Well, that's why I would think that it's probably not the pressure. I think more now, because before that, there was no, you know, he's playing for himself, essentially, mm-hmm. to go get whatever money. Now, when you have that contract, you're not playing for yourself. Now it's on everybody else. Now you're playing for the fan base, for the team, the owner who gave you the money and treat your family. So, like, there's a different level of pressure. And it's not that I don't think he can handle it. I know he can handle the pressure. I just don't believe he's comfortable. And if Andy reported months ago that Judge was the guy to go to Soto specifically and say, don't worry about it, we got you. Well, then where are those reports now about the leaders of the Mets clubhouse saying, hey, you're under a lot of pressure. We get it. Don't worry. We got you. Just relax. Go be yourself.
That's a good question. And I don't know the answer to that. You know, the one thing that I would say quickly, just to put a wrap on, we'll get back to Nick's stuff, obviously, but this is, I mean, it's almost, you know, it's almost June, and here we are.
I know.
You know, Juan Scufflin. I, like, to me, so the optics matter. I don't know if he's unhappy. We could guess in reports and all the, fine. But if I'm a Mets fan, eventually I'm going to need to see some outward emotion that it's bothering him how poorly he's hitting by his standards.
See,
for sure.
I do think.
And I don't mean like, I know it sounds like, oh, caveman, Neanderthal, smash a bat, or. And I don't even want him to do that, but like, it's not going to fly a whole lot longer. He's hitting .243, grounded into 9 double plays already, not doing anything with guys on base, RISP way below 200, unacceptable. Like, I do think at some point the Met fan's going to have to see him frustrated, visibly frustrated.
But don't you think, I brought this up to you the other day after the Sunday night game against the Yankees, that a part of me that was okay with him, where people were criticizing him for lack of hustle on that Devin Williams ground out to DJ LeMahieu, a part of me that liked that was that I saw him frustrated. Maybe not the way that you're talking about.
No, that's good. That not that kind of frustration. Okay. That's almost disengagement frustration. I mean frustration.
No,
I mean
frustration where he was just like, ugh. I kind of saw that. And he wasn't, to me, walking down the line. Like, I thought I saw. Remember, Juan Soto's a different beast here. He's a different animal. He's not going to be slamming his helmet the way Paul O'Neill did. That's just not him.
I get it. I know. And to ask him to be something that he's not would be wrong. And then you got to expect him to be the guy that you signed. Understood. But we've never seen him struggle like this the 1 year with the Yankees. So we've never seen this prolonged, rather average at times, sometimes below average play. And I just think at some point, maybe not tonight, I'm not saying tonight, but if this keeps up, the Met fan's going to need a piece of meat. Like, the Met fan's going to need to know that he's pissed off that he's not playing the way he's supposed to. And not like jogging down the line. Yeah. That's frustration.
Or saying I did nothing wrong.
That's unacceptable frustration. That's almost circumventing the truth. We need to know that it hurts you. BT, I know that sounds nuts. Well, you know what I mean? But fans need that.
Me as a fan, I know that he's feeling it. Just based on watching him last year versus watching him this year, you could tell. I think he is hurting and he is frustrated. I just want to get
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm going. Kevin is in Westchester. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. How you doing?
How are you, Kev?
Hey, Kev.
All right. Now, must win tonight, like you guys said, because if you lose, then you have to win 4 out of 5, so it becomes exponentially tougher if that happens. But in order to win, it comes down sometimes to sheer fundamentals. You cannot miss 12 free throws like you did the other night. Just can't happen. What a difference that would have made.
And they missed 12 with Mitchell Robinson only missing 2 of them. It's okay to miss 12 if Mitchell Robinson is 0 for 7 or 0 for 8, but they missed 12. And really all they had to do was make the one. If OG Anunoby makes that one, it's a different story.
Absolutely. The other thing I want to mention is you talked a little while ago about a little concern over Jalen being a little sloppy the other night. I'm a little concerned about him because he's tough as nails, but sometimes as he's bringing the ball up, he looks like a running back who has to get a first down on 3rd and 3.
Yeah.
He gets so roughed up repeatedly
yep.
and doesn't get the call. that there is a cumulative effect on that.
I agree.
That has to be considered sometimes.
Well, I agree. I think that's a good observation. We all see the same thing. I don't know. I mean, listen, maybe the refs are getting a little tired of him always being on the floor and maybe selling some things over the years that he shouldn't sell. You know, they are letting him get banged around a little bit here because they don't know what's real and what's not.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that. He's just sloppy with the ball. We talked about it yesterday.
Not usually, he's not.
No, I think in general, BT, he's
been. I don't think so.
Maybe not to the level that he was with the 7 turnovers. Jalen Brunson, to me, is not a point guard that I would trust to handle the ball in a big spot. Like when we talk about traditional point guard in the sense of protecting possessions, getting the ball, being a facilitator.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you want Brunson on the ball and you want him taking the shot, and I trust him using the angles and creating a lane and getting to the rim, maybe getting to the free throw line. But I think that the Knicks far too often are sloppy with the basketball, and I think it's been a problem for a while.
I don't think he's the only one, though. I think that, and I also don't think there's a real conventional, you know, flow to their offense. I think part of the reason why he comes across, and by the way, it's backed up some nights. The other night, he was definitely sloppy with the rock. I'm not saying he wasn't.
I mean, 7 turnovers is
that's
extreme.
That's gross. I mean, that can't happen. Otherwise, they're cooked. They might not win a game if that keeps happening. But I do think that because their offense is very scattered, that's one of the words I've used, disjointed. And by the way, it's like this on inbounds, too.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the simple things from a Knicks perspective, they just have a rough time operating smoothly. And when that's happening, I just think you're more susceptible to turnovers.
Mike is in Ramtown. What's up, Mike?
Hey, boys. How you doing today?
Good.
Always a pleasure. I got just a couple points and, you know, not a Knicks fan, but I'm actually pulling for him. But I do want to bring up one thing. With the lack of Knicks player development and, you know, what they're seeing come against them, how does it feel to have Obi Toppin dunking on you, twice in the last minute of the game?
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, they drafted the wrong guy. Yeah. I remember when they took Obi, and I remember seeing him play at Dayton, and I thought they overreacted to some numbers that he had from three-point land. So they're thinking,
because he was a 22-year-old senior.
Yes,
Obi Toppin stinks. I don't miss him at all. I think it was the right bad move picking him.
Yeah.
Right move to get rid of him, and him dunking has nothing to do with it. I'm more mad at Halliburton than Obi Toppin.
Yeah, and Bridges didn't want to get posterized there. You got to get involved in that play right there.
Did you? I did.
But you know what? Yeah. You know what Obi Toppin lends to? It lends to depth. And the Knicks have none, and the Pacers have some.
Yeah, no, we understand that.
If one person for the Knicks gets in foul trouble, if Brunson or Towns, which has happened twice in this postseason now, gets in foul trouble, they need to change their whole rotation, their whole team. It throws everything off because of the lack of depth, because they don't have a backup point guard, because they don't have a backup big man that can score.
Well,
so.
Yeah, Mike. Mike, hold on a sec, Mike. You're right, dude. But I think one of the reasons why it's easier for the Pacers to have more capable bodies is that their payroll reflects the ability to do that. I mean, Obi's making, you know, in today's day and age, relative peanuts. He's making $12 million. Nesmith is making about $11 million. T.J. McConnell's making $9.3 million. You know, I mean, they got a lot of guys who aren't making a lot of money. Even Miles Turner's only making $19 million. You got Cat making $50 million. Thank God Brunson left some money on the table. OG's making a ton of money. They have more ability financially to spread it out and have a deeper rotation. That's just a fact.
Yeah, yeah. You talk about the depth. Like, look at the Knicks starting five. I mean, come on. Bridges, Ananobi, Towns, Brunson. I mean, I'm not disrespecting Hart, but obviously the four bigs, the four big guys, you'd rather have them over the Pacers.
Yes, no question.
End of story. So not only that, like you're saying, all right, the Pacers' depth, you're going to use Obi Toppin as the example? Obi Toppin, he's a one-trick pony. Now, they play that way, so maybe he's better fit there because they're up and down the court, and he's going to finish in transition. Okay, fine. We know he's a good finisher around the rim.
He's great at the rim. That's his main strength.
Yeah, but the whole point of Obi Toppin when the Knicks drafted him was that he was supposed to be a big that could stretch the floor.
Yep.
He stinks. He can't shoot the three. He's horrible at shooting the three. He's still horrible at shooting the three. Obi Toppin is a footnote in this series. He happened to be in the right place at the right time. He should have gotten fouled harder than he did and not being able to get the dunk off.
Yep.
Get him to the free throw line. But I'm not worried about Obi Toppin at all.
No.
He played 20 minutes, for goodness sake, and unimpactful. I mean, all right, 10 rebounds, whatever. I guess he was more impactful than I give him credit for. But I did not feel like Obi Toppin had a big impact on that game.
I thought that the Knicks really overreacted to his 3-point prowess at Dayton. You know, you go back, that's what I started to say to the caller, but you know, he was wired up. I want to give a chance to go. The 2 years he was at Dayton, all right, in the Atlantic 10, which obviously it's easier, no disrespect, it's easier to get open. The athletes aren't quite what they are around some of the major conferences in college basketball. So he's just going to shoot over guys and just jump over everybody. But he only took, you know, he took less than three threes a game. Now, in college, the percentage was good. It was like 39%, but it's not like he's putting up 4 or 5. I mean, he basically made 1 3-pointer a game. One. And I remember the night that he was drafted, I was intrigued, but I did not want them to take him. I did not want Obi Toppin. I did not think he was going to translate quite to the star that some did, and he hasn't. I mean, he's a bit, Sal nailed it. I mean, if Obi Toppin decides this series, then this Knicks team is a house of cards anyway.
Oh, my God. Come on. I always had a thing for Toppin because I hated his shot. And he always sat beyond the three-point line thinking that he was a good three-point shooter, and he was always awful. All right, BT, but he's a solid whatever.
He's a functional NBA player. Yeah, okay, he's a good role player.
Okay, give me some good minutes, I guess. Maybe grab me some rebound. Knicks don't want. I wouldn't want. Who would you want Obi Toppin over? Like Precious Achiuwa? Maybe. Okay.
Yeah, okay. I would take him over Precious
Achiuwa. Would you take him over? You know, you're not taking him over Mitch Robinson, certainly.
No.
And you're not taking, well, I know he's a different player than Deuce McBride, but as far as the bench goes, like if you're ordering the Knicks roster, Obi Toppin, he'd barely see the floor. He'd be over Precious Achiuwa. That would be the guy on the Knicks right now.
Now, the only thing that bothers me about Toppin, and this goes back to my feelings on draft night, is that they drafted him over Halliburton.
Yeah, well,
that's the one thing where I see him. I don't see this expanded game that I missed. I see Halliburton.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Correct.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Boost Mobile. Reliable nationwide coverage for $25 monthly. Sal's in Keyport, New Jersey. What's up, Sal?
Hey, what's up, guys? How is everybody?
Good. How are you, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
I'm doing fine. I want to quote somebody from Monday Night Football. Don't get mad at me, but Dandy Dan Don Meredith, turn out the lights. The party is over.
For who?
The Knicks go down 0-4. They're finished. They got no bench. They got no defense. Cat is soft.
Are you a Nets fan, Sal? I'm hearing Nets fan in your voice.
No.
Who do you root for?
I am a basketball fan. I root for the Celtics.
Yeah. Oh,
but, and what happened? And I was, my senses were a little off. I thought it was the
good
Nets.
Instinct, though, Sal.
I didn't realize I was a bigger loser than the Nets fan, a Boston fan.
No. Put that aside.
I
root for New York teams also.
Yeah, but, it sounds like
what
it.
From what I've seen, they don't have the players to match up with Indiana. Indiana's in their head. They're thinking about Reggie Miller.
No, they're not, Sal.
I'm telling you right now. Even
the
yesterday, they were up by 14 points.
Yeah, but
they had 9 points with a minute to go.
So, Sal, hold on, Sal. You're a big NBA fan, you said, right? So I assume that you watch everything.
Yes, I am.
Okay, so I got you, and I believe you. Okay, but if you watch the NBA,
I watch a lot.
I believe you. But okay. If that's the case, then you would realize that this happened against the Bucks, and this also happened in the second series against the Cavaliers. Big comebacks in the NBA are common, dude, because of the 3-point shooting.
The Knicks are done, bro.
Sal, what an intelligent response. Come on.
You got it. Now, you could think.
The Knicks are done.
BT and Sal on the fan. There you have it. The call of the day. Did you look at the final play with the Halliburton thing?
So I did.
Okay. And what'd you see from Bridges? Because I've been criticizing him for that lack of defense on that final play.
Okay. So remember when Jason Tatum went the full distance and then had that easy layup in the Knicks-Celtics series? And then they had an adjustment later in the game, and they didn't pick him up as early. The first mistake that Bridges made was picking him up too early. I picked him up on the other side of the timeline, so he's already like kind of backpedaling. And then give Halliburton a move. He put him on skates. He went ding,
ding,
ding, ding. There's no doubt Bridges bit. Now, Mitch stepped up nicely, protected the rim, but then Halliburton made a play and obviously stepped out to the three. And even off of that, the subset, I'll give Bridges a little credit, where he definitely outplayed as he was coming into the rim. But he then, once Mitch stepped up, then Bridges went and took a shooter in case Halliburton passed it to him. I forget who the shooter was. So he got lit up on the first part. On the back end, he did do his job and did have help in the form of Mitch. And let's face it, it was a lucky shot that bounced around.
But I mean,
he got beat.
It was a wide open look that he had. Well, and my point is, if we're going to sit here and throw the bouquets at Mikal Bridges after a play, a singular defensive play against the Celtics to close out a game, then he should be taking some criticism for a singular defensive play against the Pacers when it was Halliburton was his guy. He was put on skates. Halliburton got himself an open look. That got to overtime. If his toe wasn't on the line, it would have been game over at that particular point. All right, let's get back to the phones here. BT, Frank is in Pennsylvania. What's up, Frank?
Hey guys, love your give and take. You guys are great together.
Thank you.
So Sal, you had me worked up, and then you redeemed yourself. How you had me worked up is when you said that what you were just talking about. Bridges actually did get a piece of the ball when Halliburton was going forward before he backed up. The ball came loose. Halliburton was able to recover it and double dribbled. I just talked to your screener about that. I think you missed that.
Halliburton did not double dribble. I don't care how many clips people want to show it. It was a clean play. Knicks fans need to stop bitching and moaning about that. It was not a double dribble. I mean,
he may have double dribbled.
Come on.
Okay.
He got the second hand.
Okay. We can agree to disagree on that point. But my point is Bridges did actually knock the ball loose. And had Halliburton not been able to recover it, would have went right in Mitchell's hand, game over. So he made a play.
But Frank, it didn't, and he didn't. Bridges was nowhere in the vicinity of Halliburton. No, Frank, I respect what you're saying. Like, you think that was good defense by Mikal Bridges to close out Halliburton on that play?
I'm just saying, Sal, okay, fair point, but all I'm saying is, he made a play. The ball got loose. Halliburton was able to recover it. Look closely at the play. You'll see
I'll watch it again for a 15th time, and thank you for the call, Frank. Did you see that? That he knocked the ball loose and Halliburton? I saw people making clips of Halliburton double dribble. Oh, come on, give me a break.
Well, I think what Frank should say is that at least on the back end, Bridges did a decent job of recovering enough to at least give himself a chance to kind of do something. But no, he got burned off the outset. Listen, I thought it was a double dribble, but that's a tough call to make because if the ball's knocked loose and the double dribble.
I'm not going to call that now. In today's NBA, they barely ever call that.
I think that happened once in the Pistons series. I forget.
On Brunson. Didn't they call it on Brunson?
They might have. I mean, like, double dribble with second graders is a little bit easier to decipher double dribble, you know, NBA players, like when the ball's knocked around. Did you get the second hand in there? It's a tricky call. You don't see it very often. It's not very common for a reason. But, yeah, I mean, the gripe should not be the even though I think that it was technically a double dribble, the gripe should not be that the refs missed that call. The gripe is the Knicks flushed down a 14-point lead and they choked.
Nick is calling from South Carolina talking about Juan Soto, which we touched on earlier. What's up, Nick?
My favorite topic.
No.
Hey, Sal, how you doing? BT.
Hey,
great
Nick.
Great show, guys.
What's up,
really great show.
Thanks.
Sal, listen, when you said Soto wasn't comfortable, I got to tell you, he's being paid a tremendous amount of money, $765 million. It's not a sin to get off to a slow start. Anybody can have a slow start, you know. It's his attitude. The fact that you're saying, I'm saying, everybody's saying he doesn't look comfortable. He should be in that dugout when he's not at bat, picking his team up, trying to make them feel good. Look at Judge. Look at how many years Judge had really, really bad slumps. But yet, when you looked in the dugout, that guy was in there. He was in everybody. He's in with everybody, cheering the team on, cheering everybody on. You look in the dugout with Soto, all you see is an impetuous child sitting there pouting.
Well, hold on a second.
He's got to be a leader on that team. He's got to pick that team up.
Nick, hold on. Nick, hold on. Who's the leader of the Yankees?
Judge.
Who's the leader of the Mets?
Well, for $765 million,
no. Oh, hold on a second. Juan Soto was on the same team as the Yankees. Aaron Judge is the captain and the clear leader. Juan Soto's not a captain. He's not a leader. Never has been. So let me ask you again. Are you a Mets fan?
No, I'm a Yankee fan, of course. But Sal, what I'm trying to say is that long before Judge made captain, when he would go into a bad slump, you could look at him and other
players. Judge is a leader. He's a great leader.
But what about the other guy? What about guys like Nick Swisher, Jazz Chisholm? The list goes on and on.
What about
these guys all go in bad slumps? But when you look in a dugout, they're picking their team up. This guy goes in a dugout and he just sits
Nick, again, I'm going to ask you the question one more time. Who's the leader of the Mets? If you don't know, it's okay because you're a Yankee fan.
I would say Lindor.
Thank you. He is, right? Why isn't he in there helping Soto out? Have you seen that?
You
haven't, and thank you for the call. That's my point. Let's not make it like Juan Soto's a leader all of a sudden, BT.
No, he's the exact opposite. You know, money should never equate to leadership. Money should always correlate to an expectation of performance, statistically speaking, but just because you make more money doesn't mean that you're supposed to change your personality. He is not a leader.
Mike Piazza.
Never has been.
Mike Piazza was not. It's the beauty of what makes Aaron Judge so special is that he happens to be the best player in the world. Oh, and by the way, he's also a leader.
Yeah.
A lot of times, specifically in the Mets case, for whatever reason, the best players are not, they haven't been, their leaders. Mike Piazza, Carlos Beltran.
David Wright was a good leader.
Yeah, I know, but I don't even think he was their best player. Now, after some of those guys from the 06 team went away, then he became their best player and leader. But even by the time he was a real captain, BT, his back took over. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But Beltran specifically, highest money, great team.
Cut it
great
to himself.
Was not a leader. Mm. Piazza.
Yep.
Yeah, he was not a leader. So Soto's not supposed to be a leader. It's either Nimmo or Lindor. And I have yet to see, now I don't know because I'm not in the clubhouse, but to his point, where are one of those guys going to him the way that Judge went to Soto a year ago?
Don't know. I don't think Met fans should need or expect Soto to become a leader. What is very fair is to expect him to show a little more enthusiasm for his part of the job, not lifting up others. Getting himself going.
Leave Juan alone. That's my guy.
Maybe Juan has a big weekend. He'll jump by Grisham. Actually, it's not even about Grisham. If he has a big weekend,
Grisham's coming back down to earth now anyway.
Still, I know. Yeah. Got more home runs, though. Yeah. But if he has a big weekend, maybe Juan Soto can pass. Let me see. Oh, maybe if DJ has a big weekend, DJ can pass him.
Can we focus on the Knicks?
Go Knicks. Good thought.
Thanks to everybody who listened. And Cole,
Knicks
we appreciate
tonight,
each and every
Let's
one
go.
Of you. Thanks to Rami and Zoo for helping out as well. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next. Go Knicks!
Let's go!
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.